الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ذلك الفوز العظيم. Beloved brothers, respected elders, when I was looking for some subject matter with regards to this topic on the Ramadan of our Akabir, of our elders, then one of the ulama, he sent me some notes which had been prepared by Darul Ihsan regarding how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, how they used to spend their Ramadan. So I felt it appropriate that our most senior akabir, most senior elders are none other than the Sahaba radiallahu anhum themselves, our Salafus Salihin, our pious predecessors. And thereafter we look into their lives, and then we find that our recent akabir, our recent elders, they also made an effort to emulate the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They also made an effort to follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So we first will get a small glimpse of the Ramadan and the spirit of Ramadan amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And thereafter we'll look at some of the, a glimpse of the spirit of Ramadan amongst our akabir, amongst our elders as well, inshallah. Like in the ayat it is mentioned, wasabi, Allah Ta'ala encourages us to follow in the footsteps of the Sahaba. Wasabiqoon al-awwaloon, those who came first, right at the beginning. Min al-muhajirin wal-ansar, who were from the muhajirin and from the ansar. Wal-ladhina attaba'uhum bi-ihsan, and then those who followed them in all goodness. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's reported by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, very senior sahabi, he says, كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يُكْثِرُونَ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ فِي رَمَضَانِ وَيَحْرِصُونَ عَلَىٰ إِسْتِغْلَالِ كُلِّ لَحْظَةٍ مِنَ الشَّهْرِ. That the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to increase their ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And they used to strive to value every moment of the month. So they valued every moment, they treasured every moment of the month. So this was the Sahaba, the Ramadan of the Sahaba. How would they value the month of Ramadan? What is something most valuable? It's nothing but the Quran Sharif. So they would spend time with the Quran, with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Month of Ramadan is a month of Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. It's a month of Ramadan wherein Quran was sent down. It's mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that كَانَ جِبْرِيلُ يَلْقَاهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّن رَمَضَانِ فَيُدَارِسُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. That Jibreel alayhi salam used to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every night of Ramadan. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Jibreel alayhi sallam would rehearse the Quran with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's reported by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He says, Kana Uthmanu yakhtimu al-Qur'an kulla thalathi layalin fi Ramadan. That Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third Khalifa of Islam, he used to make khatam of the Quran every 3 nights in Ramadan. Every 3 nights, it was his practice of making a khatam of the Quran Sharif. And in some narrations, it mentioned that he would make one khatam every night. So perhaps towards the end, he would increase the amount of tilawat, and he would make a khatam of the Quran Sharif every night. In one narration by Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu, he says, كان الصحابة يقرؤون القرآن في رمضان بتدبر وفهم. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to recite the Quran in the month of Ramadan by pondering over it, by reflection and pondering over it and understanding the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was not only tilawat, recitation, but it was for reflection. They would ponder over the Quran Sharif, and they would use the Quran Sharif as a means of transforming their lives and changing their lives. So tilawat in itself has great benefits, but together with that, an effort has to be made to understand and to bring the Quran Sharif into our lives. It's reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يَجْتَمِعُونَ لِتَعَلُّمِ الْقُرْآنِ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to gather together to learn the Quran Sharif in the month of Ramadan. So they used to sit together, they used to be gatherings of the Sahaba, where they used to sit together to learn the meanings of the Quran Sharif. Like how, alhamdulillah, in many masajid, and I'm sure in this masjid, perhaps after Isha or after Taraweeh, there are gatherings for tafsir and understanding the Quran. So there are many who are ulama, they know Arabic. So when they're making tilawat, already they are understanding. Already they are reflecting over the ayat of the Quran. And there are others who may have not learned Arabic, but we should now make efforts towards learning the Quran Sharif with understanding by participating in these programs of tafsir or by studying some authentic tafsir of the Quran Sharif as well. It's reported from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says that كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يُحْيُونَ اللَّيْلِ بِالْقِيَامِ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to make the night alive by standing up in the month of Ramadan, by standing up with Qiyam, standing up in Ibadat in the month of Ramadan. And in one narration, it's mentioned by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, كَانَ الصَّحَابَةُ يُتِيلُونَ الْقِيَامِ فِي رَمَضَانِ. Sahaba used to stand for long in Ramadan. They used to lengthen their Qiyam in the month of Ramadan, حَتَّى يَتَسَاقَتُوا مِنَ التَّعَبِ, to this extent that they would almost fall out of tiredness. They would exert themselves in standing for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are a few examples, a glimpse of how Sahaba valued their time, how they spent time with the Quran Sharif, how they reflected and pondered over the Quran Sharif in the month of Ramadan, how they made an effort to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring it into their lives. So similarly, we find that our akabirin, our recent akabirin, our elders of recent times as well, we find the same spirit of trying to emulate this spirit of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, which was obviously taught to them by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this to the Sahaba. Sahaba brought this into their lives. And over the generations, you would find that this month of Ramadan was spent with this kind of spirit. So amongst our akabirin, amongst our elders of the recent past, one amongst them who is known as Sheikhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan, rahimahullah, he was the first student of Darul Uloom Deoband. So it's mentioned about him, Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria, rahmatullahi, writes about him, that Maulana Mahmudul Hasan, he would rest in the day for a little while. So most of his rest he would get during the day. He would rest during in the day for a little while. But he would spend his entire night in listening to the Quran Sharif. He spent his entire night in listening to the Quran Sharif. He was not a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. So he himself was not a hafiz of the Quran Sharif. But he would get the hufaz, he would appoint the hufaz, and they would come and lead him in nafil salah. And they would take turns. Some after Taraweeh, they would take turns. Someone would come recite a few paras. Then the next hafiz would come, he would recite a few paras. And the next would come, they would take turns, recite, thereafter go to rest. But Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Rahmatullahi, would remain standing the entire night. From after Taraweeh, right until Sehri time. This was the practice of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Rahmatullahi. It's reported that at times, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi's feet would become swollen due to continuous standing. So the students would become concerned. But Hazrat would be ecstatic that he gained the opportunity of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose feet used to swell due to excessive salah. So he was overjoyed that I got this opportunity. Once in Ramadan, towards the latter part of his life, Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi became extremely weak due to the lack of food and lack of sleep. His feet had swollen up. But his love for listening to the Quran Sharif, it never allowed him to rest. So eventually, Hazrat's family became desperate and they informed the next hafiz that they would come to recite for him. His name was Hafiz Kifayatullah. They told him, make some excuse to Hazrat and then shorten the salah. So Hafiz Sahab, Hafiz Kifayatullah, began reciting that portion for the night in front of Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi. But he recited a small portion. And then he complained to Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi of some pain in his feet. Complained of some pain in his feet. And definitely their feet must have been paining because they already finished that Taraweeh Salah and so many nights were spent in Ibadat. So it wouldn't have been an outright lie, but he made an excuse that, you know, Hazrat, I've got some pain in my feet are tired. So Hazrat, who was always concerned about the comfort of others, he immediately accepted the excuse and he allowed Hafiz Kifayatullah to rest. So Hafiz Sahab went to lie down. But Hazrat Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi continued his Nafil Salah on his own. So he continued his Nafil Salah on his own. Whatever he knew of the Quran Sharif, he began reciting. Hafiz Sahab fell off to sleep. And then, whilst asleep, he felt suddenly somebody massaging his feet. So it was, when he woke up, it was none other than Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi. He jumped off the bed, but Hazrat Rahmatullahi said, my brother, don't worry, you are not well, this will help you feel better. This was his humility, this was his concern for others. He himself would take a lot of difficulty upon himself, but his compassion and love for others. So this is one example. Another example is the example of Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi, Muhajir Madani. Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri was the Sheikh and Ustad of Hazrat Sheikhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullahi, the author of the Fazail-e-Amal, Hazrat Sheikh, who spent his last Ramadan of his life in in Stanger, the last i'tikaf and the last Ramadan of his life in Stanger. So his sheikh and his ustad was Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi, who Allah Ta'ala blessed with passing away in Madina Munawwara and buried in Jannatul Baqi, which was always his wish and desire. So Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi says, he says, I personally observed my ustad, my teacher, during many Ramadans. He was a weak, sickly person of advanced age at that time. Despite that, 1 1/4 para he used to recite in Nafil after Maghrib. So after Maghrib Salah, when making his awabin, then he would recite 1 1/4 para. Generally the portion that he would be reciting in the Taraweeh that night, he would recite that in his awabin after Maghrib Salah. Thereafter, about 30 minutes would be spent in eating and other necessities in preparation for Taraweeh Salah. Then Taraweeh would be 2.5 hours in India, when he was residing in India, and 3 hours in Medina, Munawwara. They would spend 3 hours in Taraweeh Salah. Then he would sleep for about 2 or 3 hours, depending on the season. He would sleep for about 2 or 3 hours. Then he would get up for Tahajjud Salah. He would recite the Quran Sharif until Sehri. After Sehri, he would make Tilawat or Dhikrullah until Fajr Salah. After Fajr Salah, he remained in Muraqabah, in meditation and contemplation, until Ishraq. After performing Ishraq, then he used to engage in his academic work, his writing, and he would write at one stage his famous commentary, known as Badlul Majhud Fi Halli Abi Dawood, a commentary on the Hadith Kitab Abu Dawood, and he would be engaged after Ishraq in writing that right until midday. When it was midday, then he would take a rest. He would take a rest until Zuhr Salah. From Zuhr to Asr, the entire period was spent in Tilawat of the Quran Sharif. From Zuhr to Asr in Tilawat of the Quran Sharif. And then from Asr to Maghrib, he would be busy in tasbihat, in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in conversation with those who visited him. So people would come to him, ask for nasihat, ask for advice, ask for some masail, ask for some direction in their lives. So Hazrat would engage in conversing with them and advising them. So this was a glimpse of the life of Hazrat Shaykhul Hind, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Rahmatullahi, from the words or the pen of his student, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi. The last one of our elders I would mention now is none other than Shaykhul Hadith, Hazrat Maulana Zakariya Rahmatullahi. It's well known about him that he would recite 30 to 35 paras daily. 30 paras or more, 30 to 35 paras daily. He would spend the entire night up in ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he had a routine, and he says that in his early days, for example, after Taraweeh Salah, he would first look through some the para that he was going to recite the next day. He would look through the translation and the meanings of it. That was in the early days. He would look through the translation, read it one time like that. Thereafter, he would recite a few times in Nafil. Thereafter, throughout the night, in Tahajjud, there were so many paras. That same para he would recite over and over again. Then, at the time of Fajr Salah, in the sunnats of Fajr Salah, he would recite also the same para. After Fajr Salah, at Ishraq time, in his Ishraq, the same para, he would recite it. Thereafter, during Salatul Duha, Chasht Salah, about 9-10 o'clock or so, then, again, they say after Fajr Salah, after Ishraq, he would have a small rest. About 2 to 3 hours, he would rest at that time after Ishraq. Thereafter he would get up for Salatul Duha. And thereafter about 8 paras he would recite in it, Salatul Duha. And thereafter it would be almost time for Zuhar. In the sunnats of Zuhar, he would recite the same para. In the 2 sunnats after Zuhar, he would recite the same para. Thereafter he would make door with somebody, he would recite that same para to that particular person. And thereafter, continuously recite this between Asr and Maghrib. And thereafter in the Awabin, after Maghrib Salah, he would recite. He would continue reciting the same portion that he was going to be reciting in that night's Taraweeh. When he got onto the Musalla for Taraweeh, then that would have been the 30th time. Or depending on how many times he had recited, sometimes he would do extra depending on because of 29 days or 30 days, but he would recite some extra as well. So this was the entire routine of Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi, and how he would spend and value every moment of Ramadan. It's mentioned on one occasion, he writes himself that one of his close friends, his name was Hakim Tayyib Rampuri, he says on one occasion, he came to visit me. Generally, he would visit out of the month of Ramadan, and he had easy access to Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi, and he would come. He said he had a knack of giving me all the news. He would summarize all the news that was going on, and in the little while, I would know exactly what's happening in the Muslim world. I would get some news from Hakim Tayyib Rampuri. But he said it so happened now that on one occasion, he came in the month of Ramadan. Now, he pitched up in Saharanpur, in that area of Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, at about 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. So Mawlana Zakariya Rahmatullahi said that Hakim Tayyib came to my room door, but the Khadim there, whose name was Molvi Nasir, he said to Hakim Tayyib that, you know, it's Ramadan now, and Shaykh is in Ramadan. So Hakim Tayyib said, I'm very close to him. Knock on the, get the door open. So this Molvi Nasir, he refused. So Hakim Saab, he became angry, and he himself wanted to go and knock on the door. But Molvi Nasir said to him, you know what? He may be resting now. You're going to disturb his sleep. Or if he's not resting, he may be involved in Nafil. Then you won't get any response. So this Hakim Saab got a bit upset, and he walked away. Then he met another sheikh of the madrasa, his name was Sheikh Manzoor Ahmad. So when he saw Hakim Saab, he said, Hakim Saab, what are you doing here in Saharanpur in Ramadan? Don't you know that Sheikh is in Ramadan now? Don't you know that now Sheikh is in Ramadan? So now Hakim Saab began understanding that, and his anger cooled down a little bit. Sheikh Rahmatullahi says his anger cooled down because he understood that Molvi Nasir was right, I shouldn't be disturbing him. He said, thereafter he met the Nazim Saab, or the administrator of the madrasa. So he also asked, he said, Hakim Ji, what are you doing here? Sheikh is in Ramadan now. Thereafter he says he met Mufti Saab, or the Mufti of the madrasa. And he also said the same thing. So then Hakim Tayyib Saab said, then when can I meet him? I've come all the way from Rampur. When can I get a chance to meet him? So he said to him, half an hour after Taraweeh. After Taraweeh, half an hour after Taraweeh, you might get a chance to sit with him a little and converse with him. But he said, but I have to leave here. Before the evening, I need to go back. So he said, okay, 15 minutes before Zuhar Salah. He comes to the masjid 15 minutes before Zuhar Salah to engage in his sunnats of Zuhar. Maybe you'll meet him at that time. If not, then after Zuhar Salah, after the sunnah of Zuhar Salah, when he's leaving for his home or for the room, then at that time you might meet him. So Hakim Saab came 15 minutes before Zuhar, but when he came to the masjid, Sheikh was already in his sunnats. And he would engage in lengthy sunnats because he would read a few paras in the sunnat. Anyway, he said, okay, after Zuhar. After Zuhar, he was in his sunnats and nafil after Zuhar, and there he was engaging in long, lengthy salah. Hakim Saab became restless. He waiting, he walked away. But by the time he came back, Shaykh Rahmatullah had already left there and gone to his room. And he went into his room and now he was making door with one of the other huffaz. So Hakim Saab, he couldn't tolerate it anymore. He barged up the stairs in protest. And when he reached the top of the stairs, he yelled out, he says, Bhaiji, Assalamu alaikum. I'm not going to say much. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, Ramadan comes to us also in Rampur. But it doesn't come so feverishly. It doesn't come with so much of fever. So this was a Ramadan fever that Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi had. And this was another glimpse of how our akabirin, of how our elders used to value their time in the month of Ramadan. Emulating the spirit of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Emulating the, and following the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Beloved brothers, respected elders, after looking at these incidents of the lives of Sahaba and the lives of our akabirin, what benefit can we take from there? One benefit is this, that we understand, look at their sacrifices, what they had done for the pleasure of Allah, how they prepared for the akhirah. Despite doing whatever they did, they still felt that they were deficient. They still felt that they did not do enough. Now we look at that, and then look at our shortcomings. Then this should create within us that feeling of humility. It should create that feeling of sadness, and why can I not also strive for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another benefit is that through these incidents, the love, respect and admiration for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, for the tabi'een and for our elders and our akabirin must increase within our hearts. Our love, respect and admiration for them. Another benefit is that, inshallah, by looking at their lives, we must be now inspired that inshallah, if they have done it, then we also can, to according to our capacity, according to our ability, we also can strive to increase our ibadat and remove that those shackles of laziness and do something this Ramadan for the pleasure of Allah and increase our ibadat. Yukthiruna al-ibadah. They used to increase the ibadat in the month of Ramadan. So according to our capacity, according to our ability, someone needs to go to work the next day. Someone is in university. Someone is at school. So we have our occupations. We have our time. So schedule our time. Don't waste time. Number one, most importantly, is prioritize the faraid. Prioritize the fard. Stay away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. It was one of the golden principles of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Zakariya rahmatullahi, Mufti Zubair Bayat sahab, Damat Barakatuh, mentioned it the other day at Westville Jami Masjid. He mentioned that he was present in the i'tikaf of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith in Stanger in 1981. He says, one of the golden principles of that i'tikaf was, Hazrat would say to the mu'takifin, eat as much as you want. He would say to them, sleep as much as you want. But he would say, don't talk unnecessarily. Don't talk unnecessarily. So this is something that we can make amal upon, that don't talk unnecessarily, because then it will lead to futile talk, it would lead to ghibat, it can lead to slandering someone, it can lead to arguments. Instead of occupying the tongue in all these things, occupy the tongue in the dhikr of Allah, in the tilawat of the Quran, make use of our time. So this is a golden principle. Stay away from the disobedience of Allah. Take care of our tongues, take care of our eyes, stay away, inculcate taqwa in. And then as much as we can, according to our capacity, let us increase our ibadat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq for amal. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله.
الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه مبارك عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. O Allah, kind, merciful, loving, compassionate Allah. O Allah, we thank you for all the ni'mat that you have blessed us with, Ya Allah. We make shukr to you, Ya Allah, especially for the ni'mat of Iman, and for the ni'mat of being in the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for the ni'mat of the Quran Sharif. Ya Allah, in this majlis we have heard anecdotes and incidents from the lives of those who are beloved to you, Ya Allah. Lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ya Allah, and the lives of our akabirin, of our elders, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, through your love and kindness and mercy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah, and forgive the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, give us Ya Allah, forgive our shortcomings, forgive our defects, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg from you, Ya Allah, for the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to follow in their footsteps, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us a tawfiq to follow in their footsteps, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we beg from you, Ya Allah. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, we ask from you all the goodness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked for. And we seek protection in you from all the evil that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sought protection from. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين